Welcome to Teachers Talking Tech. I'm Eric Robinson.
I'm Mike Brown.
I'm Marie Larson.
And today we got a kind of cool episode. I interviewed Carl Shogren, and he is the founder of Seesaw. And I really was looking forward to the interview because, like, just the environment of Seesaw, everything about it feels different from other apps that are kind of intended for the same use, right? Like sharing ideas with parents, you know. And I wanted to know kind of where this all came about and get the history. So if you're not using Seesaw still, I hope you at least checked it out. And if you've checked it out, you may want to give it another look, right? Mm-hmm. I know we've been talking about Seesaw activities, and there's just so many other great things about it. Like Marie, you were talking about like introduction to social media, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, because it is kind of its own little social media platform. And I think kids see their parents on Facebook or see their parents on Instagram. So they kind of get their own little feel for it. But it also gives kids, like some ownership in a way, a safe space to practice internet like etiquette and start before they get into that stuff when they're older.
Right. And you coined the term internet etiquette, right?
Well, I know. I'm like internet etiquette, internet etiquette.
TM. Right? TM. Marie Larson. Marie Larson. That's right. No one can use without sending her $5. There you go. And Mike, you were talking about as far as like sharing with parents, you know, there's nothing else like it.
Right. And I mean, I think all of our classrooms, but not just in our classrooms, but classrooms across the world, less and less is going home in backpacks.
Yeah.
But this is a way that you're still sharing what the kids are doing on a daily basis with their parents.
Yeah. That's going home in backpacks because we find a paper trail.
Because we find it on the floor.
All the way to the bottom.
But also less and less like worksheets, drill and kill, that kind of stuff is being done in the classroom.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, that's part of the reason I really wanted to talk to him is like, well, how did you come up with this idea, number one? But like number two, it's just so different from any other kind of app where it's so student-centered, right? So Unlike a lot of other apps that I guess you would call like LMSs or learning management systems, unlike those, this one feels like the students are in control. Mm-hmm. Even though the teacher is the filter, they're the gatekeeper of what goes out to parents, students still get a lot of the choice in what they want to share. I think that's so important that they get to share their view of what's going on in the
and
classroom.
And it's so kid-friendly. It is. So easy to use.
And it really goes well, like you said, the students give the choice with how we give so much choice in our classroom. Because my kids can create something in any of the apps or ways that we've learned how, but then share it on Seesaw.
Well, and I know we're all elementary teachers, but I know even some of the middle school and high school teachers are using it. One of our music teachers is using it for his high school choir. And, like, sharing videos out that way. Like, you can still use it with older grades.
For sure. I know of a lot of high school teachers that do use it. But, you know, it's just one of those things. I talk to people, and it's so funny how, like, the ecosystem you use seems to kind of go along with your personality or what grade you teach, you know, and that's okay. But I think that keeping it student-centered is really a missing piece that you just cannot get in other apps.
There's a lot of ownership with it.
Yeah.
And it's very much the hub of our classroom, too. Like, that's where we can put stuff if kids want to share something. We were drawing with chalk the other day, and a kid said, can I take a picture of this and post it on Seesaw? They know it's an immediate connection to their parents, and then also the kids were commenting on it, like, cool drawing. And it's just a cool way to share, and it's easy, and it's just kind of immediate and automatic.
Well, and how great is that? That it's easy for the teacher, too, because this was a project that was done on your chalk table, right?
Yep.
And that's not going home.
Nope.
And the only way it's getting to parents is if you take a picture and email it to them, but now all of a sudden the kids can do it, and they do it for you. You don't even have to do anything anymore.
They'll ask, can I put this on Seesaw? Or, like, we'll go live sometimes and be like, this is a peek of what's going on, and I'll just video what's happening right now.
Exactly.
Parents love that.
And I can tell you how it would have gone without that, right? All right, here, I'll be one of your kids, Miss Larson.
Time to erase your chalk drawing.
That's right. You be my mom, ready? So you say, how was your day at school?
How was your day at school?
Fine. And then you ask me what I do.
What'd you do?
I did gym and recess and lunch. Did you do anything else? No. There you go. But with Seesaw, the parents can have that conversation started and say, I just saw what you did.
Tell me about this drawing.
Exactly.
Yes.
All right, well, let's get into it. So I want to say, first of all, thanks to Carl Shogren, who took some time out of his schedule to talk to us. And let's hear what he had to say. All right, I'm here with Carl Shogren, and he is the co-founder of Seesaw. How are you doing, Carl?
Good. How are you?
Doing great. So thank you so much for taking the time to be interviewed. I think that a lot of teachers that listen to a podcast will be interested to kind of hear how Seesaw was created, kind of where the ideas came from. Because I know it's being used in how many, is it like 200,000 schools now?
Not quite that many, but over half the schools in the U.S. and over 150 countries all around the world.
Nice. So you're not quite on par with the pencil yet, but closing in.
We're trying.
Nice. So give us your background a little bit. Like what path is taking you to co-creating Seesaw and running Seesaw?
I think for many years I've always talked about sort of two passions that I've had in my life. One was around teaching and the other was around technology. When I was in middle school, I was, spent a lot of time in the computer lab, but also formed really close relationships with a lot of the teachers that I had and thought for a long time I wanted to be a teacher. My career sort of took a different path. I studied computer science in college and, went on to start a couple of technology companies to work at Google and Facebook. But when my co-founder Adrian and I were thinking of what our next act was going to be after we left Facebook, we both sort of returned to trying to find a way to combine our two interests in education and technology. Adrian's mom is an elementary school art teacher, and so he shared a lot of the same interests as well. And so that was sort of the nugget that through a winding path from there led to where Seesaw is today.
Nice. So I figured there had to be some kind of education background, even if you weren't a teacher. Things just seemed to fall into place pretty quickly. Now, you started before Seesaw, you had another app that you all tried out, right? It's still around, Shadow Puppet.
Yeah, that's right. Adrian and I were excited to work together again. Adrian, my co-founder, and I have worked together for over 14 years now, so we've had a long collaboration. And we sort of were excited to do something in ed tech this time around, and we kicked around a bunch of ideas around, observations we had from when we were in school or things that we had heard. And we were sort of excited about the idea of ed tech, but actually realized after kicking around ideas for a month or two that we didn't actually know what teachers needed. Yeah. We weren't in the classroom. We were excited about solving problems in the space, but we didn't know what those problems were. And so actually went a pretty different direction. We launched this app called Shadow Puppet, which was a way of telling stories with your voice and photos on your phone, and really launched it, to be totally honest, without a very clear idea of how it was going to be used. We were excited about it as like a new way of telling stories and just kind of put it out there to see what happened. We had some idea in the back of our head that it might be a useful tool for teachers to sort of make little mini lessons, but really didn't talk about it that way at all. And what was fascinating is that product, we were fortunate. We got like featured on the homepage of the App Store. We got tons of downloads. And so a lot of people came in and sort of kicked the tires on Shadow Puppet. We had people using it for sort of corporate applications like, taking pictures of shelves in a Walmart and reporting back to headquarters, or, selfie, 200 selfies set to music. But the pattern we started to notice was that it was actually being used a lot by kids in schools, not teachers, actually kids, to explain their art or talk about a science project. And it was really fascinating to us for a couple of different reasons. One is that I think it was really a pretty interesting window into kids' thinking. They were able to express themselves in a way that maybe they couldn't yet by writing. And it was also really interesting to me in terms of that kids could really do quite a lot on their own if you gave them the right tools. Mm-hmm. And that was definitely sort of a, pleasant surprise to us. And then really what came out of Shadow Puppet, though, were the relationships with some of the earliest teachers who were using it, who would give us feedback on Shadow Puppet, but also we started talking to about, well, what other problems do you have in your classroom, and what else could we do to make your life better? And that's really where the idea for Seesaw came from. We kept hearing over and over again that teachers struggled with, collecting work off student devices, of keeping it organized, of sharing it with families. We heard these, 17-step horror stories of getting a video off an iPad, so much so that it was really a blocker to using technology in creative ways with their students. And that was the V1 of Seesaw that came out of talking with some of those early Shadow Puppet teachers.
Gotcha. And yeah, that makes sense, because everything that you've created or had your hands on definitely is student-centered rather than teacher-centered. I think when most people ask me about Seesaw or why I would recommend it, that is the first thing I would say is, it is not a teacher-centered app. It certainly can be, but it really puts the power of telling the story of school in the hands of students.
I think that's a great way of putting it. That's very much how we see the world as well, and really what we're excited about. Giving students those creative tools to express themselves and the audience for them to really feel like the work that they're doing at school is appreciated.
So how many people, you start out at Seesaw and you launch, how many people do you have working for you? What does that look like when it first starts up?
Yeah, well, so, for a long time when we were working on Shadow Puppet, it was just Adrian and myself. I think we built the first version of that app with just the two of us and the help of an intern. By the time Seesaw launched, we were four people, I believe.
Okay.
We launched in a sort of beta period. What was this now? At the end of 2014, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Our goal for that year was to get 10 classrooms using Seesaw, which seems like a very daunting goal, to be totally honest. I spent, most of October, November, and December on the phone with teachers, almost every day, trying to understand what was working and what wasn't working around Seesaw. And actually, some of the things that you see in Seesaw today came out of a lot of those conversations. There's a gentleman by the name of Zach Linson, who actually now works at Seesaw, who was a tech coordinator at a school in Indiana. And at the time, we had the way of signing into Seesaw where you type in a 4 or 6 letter code. Mm-hmm. And his students were struggling with that. We thought it was simpler than a username and password, which I think it is, but it was still a struggle for a kindergarten student in some cases. And he drew this picture for me. He's like, well, so what if you could just scan a code and they could just hold the iPad up to a poster on the wall? I kind of remember coming out of that conversation being like, nobody uses QR codes. That's kind of a weird idea. But then we thought about it some more and I was like, huh, actually, that would work really well in the context of a classroom and really make it easier for kids. And so we built it, and now that's one of the main ways kids sign in to see someone.
Well, and especially, for someone, I used to be three students to one device. I know there's a lot of teachers who are not one-to-one. And that's one of the greatest things about Seesaw is that you can sign in, sign out pretty easily. And it works well whether you're one-to-one or not. I think it's that flexibility, when I present on Seesaw, it's so much easier, when I'm trying to tell people how to use it or what they would use it for, because you don't run into those, 19 roadblocks, of just logging in.
No, and that was when we were working with those first 10 classrooms, that was clearly one of the challenges that came up over and over again. And we just, kept working away at that until it was easy enough that they actually started using it on a regular basis.
Now, how many people work at Seesaw now?
We just crossed 50 people.
Wow. I think that a lot of people, when they think about technology companies, at least for me, I always think they must have 200, 300 people minimum to run this technology and deal with all the things coming your way. But that's to do all that you do with 50 people, it's just really impressive.
Thanks. Yeah. It's it's all relative, you know, 50 people to me sort of starting from two feels yeah. big sometimes, but you know, I've also worked at much larger companies where, you know, we're still tiny in the grand scheme of things. But that's one of the things I love about technology is that, you know, you can, you know, we're building something that's used by millions of people every month. And, we can do it with a relatively small group of folks. That kind of leverage and impact is what gets us out of bed in the morning.
Yeah, and I think that kind of, you know, as I go to my next question, which is, you know, that Seesaw is really responsive to teacher requests and things that teachers would want. So, you know, like when I think about the process that you would use to take those requests and make them a reality, it might actually be useful to have a smaller company where you could maybe get to those a little easier and really, you know, talk it through and make it reality without so much red tape.
Yeah, no, I think really, as you know, I've told you, the story of Seesaw is a story based on teacher feedback. It's about, you know, finding teachers who are trying to do great innovative things with technology and to empower their kids and listening to them. And I think that's one of the things that as we grow, you know, I'm most concerned that we keep. I think it is what has made us successful so far, and I think it is what will continue to make us successful. So it's something that we take really, really seriously. Every group in the company, like our support team, we call our teacher success team, our school partnership team that works with Seesaw for Schools customers, our social media team that deals with our community, all of these different teams maintain a sort of top five list of what we're hearing from our constituents. I mean, that's mostly teachers, but sometimes students and sometimes parents as well. And we talk through those lists as sort of a product team, a leadership team every month to really try and hold ourselves accountable for, are we getting, you know, are we addressing the feedback that we're hearing? And you know, sometimes it's challenging. We get a lot more feedback than our relatively small team can always process. And, you know, we have inputs from other places too, in terms of what we're trying to build to sort of get ahead of the next wave that we're seeing. Mm-hmm. But we look at that list every month and really try and make sure that we're making progress against it on a regular basis.
So that brings me to the next question, which is what is or what are the most requested updates that you see?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think what's interesting is, you know, we do have a pretty broad set of people using Seesaw. You know, so what we hear from school administrators is very different from teachers, is very different from parents. But a couple of themes. One is that, you know, we're seeing more and more teachers using Seesaw on Chromebooks and with older grades. And I think we're really excited about trying to figure out how to make the experience of using Seesaw on a Chromebook, whether it's just signing in or our creative tools, like the best they can be on Chromebooks. So that's one sort of big area. I think, you know, the other thing we hear a lot about is this new activity library that we launched. We launched that in June and have had really a tremendous response of teachers contributing great ideas for how to use Seesaw with students and then, you know, making that, those ideas accessible to everyone in our community. And so there are a lot of requests around how to make those activities more powerful, more discoverable, easier to access, that we are in the midst of working on. It's really one of my favorite features that we've launched recently, because one of the things that I think we saw sort of from our bird's eye view is how amazing the community was around Seesaw. You know, if you were on our Facebook groups or followed us on Twitter, there was just this, like, you know, global inspiring community of educators coming together with, you know, sometimes talking about Seesaw, that was the thing that brought them together. But a lot of times it wasn't about Seesaw. It was about global read aloud or how to, you know, what are the best apps for Chromebooks or fifth grade iPad suggestions or, you know, just like, it was just great educators coming together who were excited about technology and excited about empowering kids. And we saw that. We saw that every day. Every day on the way to work, I look at, like, you know, what people are saying about Seesaw on Twitter and Facebook. That's, like, kind of my morning routine. But if you signed up as a brand new teacher to Seesaw, you know, none of that was available to you. You know, Seesaw itself as a product felt like a tool, not a community. And I think one of the things that we're trying to do with the Activity Library and that I'm really excited about is it starts to really kind of merge those two things together so that you don't have to sign up for Seesaw and then follow us on Facebook or, you know, use Twitter. You just start Seesaw and you can tap into this community of teachers that can really hopefully help inspire you or give you ideas on just how to make the most effective use of Seesaw in your classroom.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much again for taking the time to talk to us. And I have to tell you, I absolutely love Seesaw and keep up the great work.
Thank you. Thanks for all your support.
So I hope you enjoyed the interview with Carl Sjogren. I loved it. And I really liked kind of lifting the veil and seeing the personality behind the app. A lot of times, you know, we just have no idea who created something, why they created it. We just get it on the other end on our iPads or on our devices, right? So, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Remember, you can check us out at Teachers Talking Tech on Facebook, or you can connect with us on Twitter at?
At TeachSomeTech.
Actually, I changed it.
You did.
No, I'm kidding. I didn't change it.
I got to say it last week, and I had to practice it like 4 times.
Oh, and I should say this before we go any farther. Congratulations to Mike Brown and the Chelsea Bulldogs because Woo! His assistant coaching that we were teasing him about last week,
it paid off.
It paid off, yes. Mike single-handedly won the game. No, I'm kidding. But the Chelsea did win, and they're in the state semifinals
right.
in football.
Woo! Yep.
Which is really cool.
Coach Brown.
I think it was your whistling.
Probably.
And stuff like that. That yeah. probably pushed them over the edge.
My whistle skills.
Yep, I think so. And also, you can email us at Teachers Talking Tech. We have a YouTube page. The only thing we're still not on is Snapchat. Marie, you got to get on that.
Am I on that?
I don't know.
I'll snap.
Yep. All right. So thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed it. And this is Teachers Talking Tech. I'm Eric Robinson.
I'm Mike Brown.
I'm Marie Larson.
And I'm one of Marie's kids. There you go. All right. See ya.